Okay, Crooks and Liars, readers and listeners, this is John Amato again, and I'm joined by, hopefully, the next senator from Ohio, Mr. Paul Hackett. Mr. Hackett, thanks for joining us.
John, thanks so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure, my friend, and again, congratulations on your, you know, your run, and I tell you...
My narrow, but still yet defeat in a congressional race. It's an amazing testament to how great America is that people are so excited when a Democrat loses by only 3.5 percentage points.
Well, you know, that was a really amazing race because, you know, you were in a heavily conservative district that voted, 65% Republican.
Right.
And there was a really great, I think it was a Cook poll, which, you know, it said that if you had lost by 20 points, it means there's no problem. But if you were to lose by only 9 points, then Republicans have to sort of start worrying. And if you had lost by 5 points or less, there were serious problems in Ohio. And the fact that you lost only by 4% shows that there are serious problems in Ohio for Republicans, for President Bush. And there is a big opportunity for Democrats to make a big play in Ohio.
Sounds good to me. I think when you look at the numbers, I think probably, this is just my unsophisticated, uncareer political view of it, the numbers that probably get the attention of the political junkies most is where I got the votes that I got and the counties that I got them in, I think are what the Republicans would generally view as their strongest voting areas, such as rural counties, and I think, you know, that probably shook them up that out of the 7 counties in this district, we won the 4 rural counties, some of them religiously very conservative counties. And I think, frankly, probably the Republicans thought that those were impossible for a Democrat to win. And I think that's probably what concerns them more than the fact that we came within 4 percentage points of winning. Because when you factor in the other unique issues of a special election, particularly this one, I think that generally gives a Democrat a little bit of wind to his or her back in going into a special. Democrats tend to do better in specials than Republicans, and tend to do better in specials than in traditional elections. So I've been told.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seemed also you just had a very honest take and an honest approach to the whole election process, and what you said, you know, it really seemed like it came from your heart. And did you find, you know, you did call President Bush a chicken hawk, and I know that, you know, Republicans and even talk show hosts wondered, did you think that was, you know, that possibly hurt you? In my mind, you were just being honest and saying the way, you know, what you actually felt. So do you think that helped you or hurt you?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you if it helped me or hurt me. It doesn't bother me. It's what I believe, and what you see is what you get. I'm not trying to create or craft a message to appeal to some entity or some body of people or group of people in order to win their votes. I mean, I'm straightforward. My simple approach is this. Here's what I think, me and my neighbors think, is the matter with America, and here's what I think we need to do to fix America, and I'm willing to, you know, take some time off from my life and from my profession as an attorney to commit to hopefully bringing about this change. And if you agree with me, then join the team and let's see if we can't all together make this change for our kids and our grandkids. And if you don't agree, if you're happy with the status quo, then you're probably not going to be interested in what I've got to say. And then that's honestly how I look at it. And I tend to feel that a lot of Americans, my message, really our message, resonates. The concerns, I just generally find that the concerns I've got about the United States of America today seem to be shared with a lot of people, and I try not to be, a self-licking ice cream cone where all I'm doing is hanging around people who think the way I think. I spend a lot of time talking to my Republican and conservative friends here in Southern Ohio, and frankly, many of them share my concerns as well. Now, you know, I suppose the smart asses out in the crowd can say, well, buddy, only 48% agree with you. And that kind of brings us back to where we started, and that is 48% of a pretty traditionally conservative neck of the woods. And that's, you know, maybe why folks are kind of excited. And if you step back and look at Ohio as a whole, where there are some pockets of people and groups that sort of balance out some of the more conservative pockets, that's what tends to give us hope that perhaps Ohio is ready to make a change, and therefore perhaps the United States is ready to make a change and realize that some of the goods that we've been sold in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years are not really good for America and are not really going to be what it's going to take for our kids and grandkids to prosper after we're gone.
Yeah, I completely agree. There has been a big shift. We just look at all the polls, and, you know, Iraq is a big problem, the economy, gas, and people are saying, you know, they did not vote for this when they voted for this type of Republican, you know, to go into office.
Sure.
And where we are today. And did you ever expect, by the way, you know, the kind of support that you got on the internet? We were talking earlier in the pre-interview, which was, you know, you'd rather get smaller contributions,
right,
than the big fat cats, because I know, yeah, that you talk about the whole lobbying system and special interest
right,
groups. And so, you know, what is your feeling on those, that whole special interest thing?
Here's let me answer the first question. Did I expect to get that kind of support on the internet? I wish I could sound like a genius and say, yeah, we sat around and we designed this great plan on how we were going to do this on the internet. It didn't happen that way. I'm not, at the risk of well, whatever, I can't tell you exactly how that happened. My take on it is, I just said what I believe in regarding America, and it got picked up through the internet and spread efficiently through the internet, which, you know, I mean, we all know the internet is an incredibly efficient way to spread information. Whether or not it's accurate, that's a whole different topic, but it's, things spread very efficiently on the internet. Regarding donations, here's my perfect world for politics and raising money. As everybody knows, it's a necessary evil in politics. My perfect world is the more people that participate in the political process in our democracy, the healthier the United States is, and the internet affords people the opportunity to participate with, you know, I say this in a good way, with limited effort. They can have a big impact on the political process. In other words, you don't have to hop in your car necessarily and drive 2 hours and then do 3 backflips in order to participate. You can climb online. You can find out differing opinions on a political issue or a political person or candidate. And then if you're interested in helping, you can, you know, go to a meetup, you can blog, or you can hit the donate now. So it just really makes the process efficient. And as far as raising money, you know, here's my perfect storm, perfect world. Grow the people for this race, who are interested in this race in Ohio, to a million or more, and ask them to donate $5, $10, or $15 so that the burden is spread out and it's less painful to help financially. But then also, more importantly, from a candidate's perspective, I would rather be working for a million or more, frankly, for all Ohioans, and to the extent that I get elected to be a senator, all Americans. But I would rather be holding millions of Ohioans who've given me $5, $10, or $15, or millions of Americans who've given me $5, $10, or $15, as opposed to a small group of high-dollar donors. Because the high-dollar donors, they want something a little bit more when they give that money than simply to see the process work as planned by our forefathers.
No, they have a definite, obvious agenda, and leads to the cronyism that we see in Washington with the whole Michael Brown and the special interest group and the lobbyists, even with the credit card bill. And it was, you know, for us, and also even the shield laws to the gun companies, to me, was wrong. And there was a lot of money. I mean, when the credit card companies are writing the legislation that they passed, something's wrong there.
Bill, right.
You know, but anyway, and did you ever think, when you suited up and went to Fallujah, that you'd be where you are now?
No. It wasn't even part of a long-term plan. I literally sat around. I got to Fallujah a year ago yesterday, and I took over the base that I had before, during, and after the invasion a year ago tomorrow. And you know what I sat around thinking about, aside from the immediate concerns of my responsibilities there? When I'd go to bed at night before I was falling asleep, when I came home, I was thinking about buying season tickets to the Cincinnati Bengals, which I did the week I got back, spending a lot of time with my wife and my kids, and you know, I was shooting emails back and forth to my wife about how we were going to buy an RV and tour America for a month in the RV with the kids and drive from one coast to the next and see Mount Rushmore that I'd never seen, and drive up the California coast and cycle back down through Sedona, Arizona. I mean, that's the type of stuff that I was planning. And then when I got done with that and caught up with my rest and my family, I was going to happily go back to my law practice in southern Ohio, down in Cincinnati, and live my life happily ever after. That was the plan.
Mm-hmm. And now you're running
stuff.
And now you're running for the Senate. It really shows again why our country is so great, because we can, you know, our lives can shift in the matter of, you know, right on the dime, and we make a decision, we move forward, and it's been wonderful really seeing your rise into politics. And it has, I see now that there's more and more Iraq war veterans jumping in and wanting to run for office. Do you see that also?
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I spoke to another Marine yesterday. He's running as a Republican down in Texas, and I didn't have the chance to say it to him, but I'm sitting there sort of talking through Ron Reagan on his MS show, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know what, I've got more in common with this fellow Marine than I do with a lot of these other career politicians. And he's doing it, I didn't hear this from him, but I suspect he's doing it for the same reason I'm doing it. He's already lived somewhat of a life of commitment and service through the Marine Corps, and he's come back, and he probably sees the same problems that I see and you see and many Americans see in America today, and he wants to help change it, and not for necessarily personal aggrandizement, but for our kids. And, you know, I mean, God, I mean, every morning when I wake up and I think about the challenge and the demands that this race is going to place on my family, I also think that it's going to be worse if we collectively allow America to go down the tubes, because it would simply be easier to go on our merry way and surf the 200 channels on the dish, you know.
If you can find something that you actually want to see.
Yeah. It sounds like you're like me. There's about 10 channels that I really watch, and the other 250 or however many there are, I've never even seen. So.
Yeah, it's been really. I think Mother Jones wrote an article just in outline all the different people that, you know, all the military that are running, and mostly there's a bunch of Democrats and a couple Republicans, and it's, you guys know Iraq.
Yeah.
And you guys have been there. And I'm always, you know, when I listen to the right wing and they talk and they say that, well, the media doesn't report all the good stories. Well, where are the good stories? Because you definitely know that there's an infrastructure for the right wing. They'd be harping on every good story that came out of it.
Here's the number one good story about Iraq. There are approximately 156,000 dedicated, red-blooded, true Americans over there serving their country with tremendous zeal and loyalty, trying to make the best out of a poorly designed, thought-out, and managed war. And we are and were doing it unquestioningly because we believe in our country and we want to serve our country. And I think that sort of segues into why we're seeing many of them and us come back and want to serve in a different capacity, because we know how great this country is and can be, and we are concerned with what we saw regarding the mismanagement of that war, and the mismanagement of our economy back here in the United States, and the mismanagement of other things like post-Katrina. And, you know, we're concerned. We're starting to see this recurring theme, and who better to step up to the plate than men and women like me and us, who've always wanted to serve and always wanted to do the right thing. And it's not so intimidating when politicos and career politicians say, you got to wait your turn, or, you know, people are going to take pop shots at you in the press. And I suspect many of those, if not all of these men and women who are coming back and throwing their hat into the ring, are thinking, hey, you know what? I did my time. I don't have to wait my turn. This is America. This is what democracy is all about. And, you know, people saying lies about me in the press or whatever, hey, I've had worse. That's life. I signed up for that. Just like when I went to Iraq, I signed up for people shooting at me. And that's just part of the program. I know at the end of the day, I come home to my pretty good life with my three perfect children.
And my they look like your wife or you?
They look like my wife.
Okay, thank God.
And my beautiful wife. And I can still go to bed at night, and no matter what the result is next year, win or lose, I can say I did my best to help my country. And at the end of the story, that's what it's all about, is did you do your best, and did you fight to do the best for your friends, your neighbors, and your fellow countrymen? And, you know, it's funny, you know, some people probably think that's a line of bullshit, but you know what? That's what motivated me to get into the Marine Corps a bunch of years ago. It's what motivated me to come back and help out in Iraq, even though I thought it was a bad idea. But, you know, I want to help.
Well, you certainly are. And again, yeah, you've started just a momentum of with the Netroots, with a person like yourself who isn't a career politician, thrown his hat in the ring, has you know, obviously caused some major shockwaves in the whole political process. And you are showing people that, hey, you can get involved, you can make a difference. And that's what we do in the blogosphere. We feel that we're, you know, we have something to say, we're making a difference. And by you doing that, you know, you've already accomplished your goal, I believe, of helping your country by the fact when you ran against Ms. Schmidt, you threw your hat in the ring into a, you know, highly conservative district. You didn't care, and you did a great job. So you've already accomplished that.
I didn't care in the sense that I wasn't afraid to lose. I cared in the sense that I, you know, as we've been talking about, you want to make a change. That's the cool thing about the Netroots, and what is, I suspect, scary to, you know, the status quo power brokers is it diminishes their power when somebody is allowed to have access, if you will, to the net and spread their word unfiltered and be able to generate support in a very efficient way that the nets allow. And that eliminates the intermediary who says, okay, now hack it, it's your turn to do this, or now, you know, whomever, it's your turn, now you get the run for the Senate, and we're going to back you, and their power is diminished through the net, and that's what's scary. But you know what? That's what democracy is all about, is everybody's got an equal equal vote, equal power, equal voice. The net really does a great job of equalizing that out, you know. And it literally, I hear, you know, when I was going up to D.C. Planning on getting into the Senate race, I can't tell you how many times I would hear the cautionary comment, you got to be careful of the blogosphere. You got to be careful of the net. You know, it can turn around and bite you. And, you know, my quiet thought to myself was, sure, that's true, but you only have to be afraid if you're only in it for yourself, or if you're only in it for your career, and you're not putting your country first. And I figure if you put your country before your career, you're more times than not going to do the right thing, and you're fighting for at least a principle and an ideal, as opposed to simply fighting for yourself and your career. And that's, again, what democracy is all about.
Well, you definitely epitomize that, and I don't want to keep you on too much longer because I know, you know, you're home and you got a lot of campaign stuff, you know, obviously ready to go. So I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on to Crooks and Liars, and we'll see what happens. We will be there and we'll be checking it out. And I know, you know, if you had looked on the site when I posted, you know, asking you questions, the response and the thoughtfulness of the questions was really amazing, and people are engaged, and it's not a battle about you who's better than, you know, Mr. Brown. It's a question of now people are looking at the problems of Ohio, and it becomes almost a national problem, because
right.
With the internet we can zero in on what's going on, and you've heard all the scuttlebutt about, you know, the election stuff and what happened, and it's just, so it brings a very localized issue national, and
right.
So
good point.
You know, so it's been very powerful, and hopefully we'll get together, chat again. And
John, I really appreciate the time and the opportunity to talk to all of your viewers.
Yes, it's and
listeners.
Viewers, listeners, readers.
Right.
You know, so it's been my pleasure to have a shot at, you know, for you coming in and doing a Crooks and Liars interview. So we will speak again real soon.
Awesome.
And good luck with your run.
Awesome. Thanks, John.
Okay, bud.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.